Special thanks to our friends over at Graze.com for sponsoring this episode of The Wiggle Room. And what is Graze? Well, Graze is a snack subscription service that delivers delicious, unique snacks to your work or to your home. And Graze wants to show you the tasty side of healthy snacking. And you can try it for yourself for free when you use the promo code ROB at Graze.com. Now, Graze snacks come in perfectly portioned packs, great for on the go when treating yourself without overdoing it. From savory combinations to flapjacks and cookie dippers, their vast variety of over 100 unique snack creations means that there's always something new or different to try. They've got stuff like honeycomb flapjack, which I had not known what flapjack was before I started eating Graze.com snacks, but it is delicious, rustic rolled oat flapjack with honeycomb and chocolate drizzle. They've got turtle pie with raw pecans, vanilla pumpkin seeds, salted caramel, milk chocolate, and mini cocoa cookies. And you don't have to feel terrible about what you're snacking on because all of the Graze snacks are approved by their in-house nutritionist and contains no artificial colors, flavors, or preservatives. So you can feel good about what you're snacking on when you sign up, browse and rate all the snacks, and help Graze handpick a personalized box to suit your preferences. So go to Graze.com. That's Graze.com now to get a free trial box that includes four of their top rated and most delicious snacks. And use the special promo code ROB. That's at Graze.com. And use the promo code ROB to get your free box at Graze.com.
Check it out. Josh.
Wiggle. Hey, Josh, what's the sound of two balls clanging?
Oh, no. Knock. We begin the Wiggle Room, the final Wiggle Room of the season, as we started with Dr. Mike's pervasive ridiculousness. It's just we can't escape it. There's no escape.
No
unbelievable
escape.
With all the clanging of the balls and Jeff Probst, and it's just so much.
Yep,
it's a lot.
Yeah. All right.
Twas a lot. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So, Josh Wiggler, here we are, days before, closing in on hours before the David versus Goliath finale.
Oh, my God. Such an exciting time. The best season ever, Don't At Me, is about to wrap up. We are so close to finale time. I was in Los Angeles. Now I'm not. So much action happening in our lives as we are coursing towards the Survivor David versus Goliath finale.
Yeah. And we've got a lot to cover here tonight as we are going to get into everything leading up to the finale. A look back at times here in the story of Survivor David versus Goliath. And then we will listen to our finalists for this season's final wand-off.
Oh, my God. I'm very excited. Final wand-off is here. A little bit of controversy in the wand-off
sure.
Twitter sphere this
sure.
past week. But, you know, I'm sure we're going to have a good time here no matter what.
Yeah, wand-off Twitter was lit this week. We'll talk about that when we get to that portion of the show. We've done so well with so few complaints about the Wiggle Room this season. I dare put that into jeopardy here.
Yes.
In our final regular season Wiggle Room of the season. And what a season. And it's been. Now, Josh, you and I both had the chance to speak with Christian Hubicki on his way out of the game this week.
Yes, we did. And what a delight. The great professor, Christian Hubicki, robot scientist extraordinaire. I loved reading all of his exit interviews with Mike, with Dalton, with Gordon. I loved listening to his conversation with you, all of which were very different from what I got into with Christian.
Yes.
With Christian, I felt like, why don't we try and just we're never going to see the deleted scenes from the incredible challenge between him and Alec. It's just not a thing that's going to happen. And it's a damn shame, a chicken damn shame. But the closest that we could potentially get is to just get Christian to tell us everything that happened during that 6-hour challenge. And that is the gist of my interview with Christian. It is basically an oral history of the incredible one-on-one battle between him and one Alec Merlino.
Before we get to Christian, I want to talk to you in terms of your process. At what point did you decide, I'm going all in on the immunity challenge?
About 2 hours before I got on the phone with Christian, I woke up that morning wondering, what am I going to talk to Christian about? And remembering what it was like to talk to Christian the first time that I talked to Christian, which was a delightful, a great person to nerd out about Survivor with. He is an authentic, huge Survivor fan, had a lot of incredible thoughts about how to play the game and a lot of observations on Survivor history. Just an incredibly fun person to pick the brain of if you're a big Survivor person, but also very long-winded. He goes on for a long time. Yeah. And I felt like the amount of information that I was going to cover, that the breadth-first search approach with Christian actually may not be the best approach for the interview, considering that I felt like that would probably end up yielding a lot of the same material that was going to be unearthed in most of these exit interviews. Whereas to dig really, really deep into this very specific lane of Christian's journey, felt like maybe something that no one else was going to do, and felt like something that may be of service to the Survivor fandom. So I was very happy when I got to that idea, and I was happier when Christian was game for the idea, and even happier still when Christian walked me through everything, because there were some great gems. I don't even know how to cover it in the form of this podcast. I would really say go seek it out. THR.com/survivor. A really fun interview with Christian.
Any big takeaways that really surprised you?
Not anything huge other than the reason he brought up the Reuben sandwich was because it's always been Christian's dream to ask Jeff Probst to get him a Reuben sandwich to tempt him off of a challenge, which is so specific and weird, that I found that to be incredibly funny. Apparently Jeff Probst at one point turned into a Southern preacher and started like preaching / narrating the challenge. I don't understand exactly.
Voice?
Apparently. Yeah.
Like he's Robin Williams,
I guess. I don't know. It seemed like he was like doing a bit. I asked Christian why that happened, and Christian said, we were just having a good time. We were just having fun. You know, people are in pain and everyone's trying to distract from the pain.
Yeah.
It's really funny. I mean, it's not like, is this a highly informative interview? I don't think so, but I think it's a nice glimpse into a moment in Survivor history in a way that I don't think we're going to get otherwise. So really fun to dig into all of that with Christian. Apparently he did like the Natalie Anderson spit thing that Natalie did during this challenge when she ran it. It also did not go well, and it did not make it to air.
One other thing on that, that you asked about the auction, which has not come back. And believe it or not, as we are closing in, barreling in towards the culmination of volume 4 of the Evolution of Strategy, not that we're recording, but that we're 7 seasons into it.
Wow.
No auction so far here in the 30s, season 30 had the auction, but that was part of volume 3 of the Evolution Strategy, which is a great listen for anybody who is heading towards that holiday break and looking for something to listen to while traveling or with some downtime at evolutionofstrategy.com. No auction, and it seems like no auction in the near future either.
Which is a real shame. Yeah, I mean, that was something that came up from my interview with Gabby a few weeks ago, where she said that Christian had been pestering Probst about a bunch of different questions on the Survivor beat, including where is the auction? We didn't get the answer to that question at the time, but when I had Christian on the line, I made sure to ask him, what did Jeff say about the auction thing? And this is from Christian. Jeff said the Survivor auction, in his estimation, will not come back. I told him I liked it, but his reasoning was that it's not as interesting to watch hungry people eat food anymore. But for me, I think the issue is more that people have gamed the auction to death ever since Shireen did what she did in Worlds Apart about paying $20 for letters, which takes away the uncertainty. If there's a way where they can bring it back in season 39 as a surprise or whatever, I think it would be a hit. I agree. I think the auction is ready for a comeback. I don't know how you do it. I don't know when you do it in terms of like where in the season, but we got to see that auction back. That's just, it would be such a delight to see a revamped auction in Survivor's future.
Yeah. I mean, just spitballing here, but could it be a blind auction where you either are having people like with paddles that we're not seeing what the other people are doing, or it's like one of these things where you go to like a charity event and you like write your, you know, everybody writes down what they'd be willing to pay for something and you only have a certain budget, and then either Jeff surprises them in terms of like the order of operations, in terms of like, all right, we're going to start with this item number two. And it's like, all right, well, Christian bid $280. He was the high bidder. He gets this. And the advantages in there and the letter for, you know, whatever. And then it's sort of, and not with everybody together in a group, because as I said in the evolution of strategy, you know, even in season six, we were talking about, okay, all right, Heidi, you want cheesecake, you take that first. And so we just sort of like strip that away.
Yeah, I think the problem is, I don't know, it's a hard one to solve. I think part of the problem is like you want it to go at a clip for TV. Like, and I think like you don't want like everybody to buy something blindly and then you wait until like the end of the auction to reveal what everyone's bought, because then you're just like watching everybody eat like spaghetti and cheesecake and like holding their new idol all at the same time. Like, it would just feel kind of rushed. I really don't know what the answer to it is, other than I just want to see it. And I almost don't even mind if it's gamed. I think like at that, like, it's been so long that maybe on its like first pass back through the game, people are not going to remember exactly what to do about the auction. No one's going to be expecting it.
Okay. All right. Enough about the auction. Let's get into the task at hand as we are approaching the Survivor finale coming up on Wednesday night. We are going to be crowning the winner of a season that some are calling the best season ever. And so there's a lot of the pressure, I think, on this finale to deliver in a season which has delivered for the most part through 13 episodes and hours of the show. I guess it's 13 and a half with the 90 minute premiere of the season. So here we are heading into the finale. And I do feel like that this season needs to deliver with a strong finale.
And I think it will. I really do. I think it's going to. I'm not worried about it at all. I think that obviously I'm, you know, we haven't even talked about the fact that, you know, the fact that Christian's gone is very devastating. Not for everybody. I know not that's not a universal position. For me, it's a real bummer. And we were just talking. Speaking of Worlds Apart, you know, we were just talking last week about how there was sort of this Holloway-esque quality about where Christian found himself in the episode leading up to this past week's episode. And 'twas not to be. There will be no Mike Holloway-esque run to the top for Christian. But I think if Christian had barreled through and made it all the way to the end and he wins, there's not just a Mike comparison to be made, but almost a Tony-esque comparison to be made about the mad scientist way in which he won the game. That doesn't happen. And I think especially with the quietness of the way in which he goes, I know was very disappointing for some people. Less so for me. I feel pretty good about it. I think it's actually a kind of fun way to write out your biggest character of the season. But I think with who we're left with the six that we're left with, it's a testament to the casting that I really like all six of these people. I think there are in-game arguments to be made about many of them, if not all of them. You know, coming into this week's podcast, I may not have felt like there was a very strong case to be made for someone like Mike White, for instance. But Mike White just took down Christian Hubicki. That's a huge, huge move. And I think when you look back at a lot of the narrative pieces on the board along the way to get to this moment, there's a lot of great Mike White material along the way there as well. So I think that this victory is very much up in the air. I think that the road to the win is very unclear. And I think that however we get to wherever we get, based on the way that the season has been cut together and based on the way that the game has been played, I'm highly optimistic that we're going to be in for a really fun finish, basically no matter who wins. It's just levels of how fun it's going to be.
Okay. Now, you, for many seasons running, have done a full rewatch of the season heading into the finale. And I would love to sort of talk through with you some of what you may have observed as we look at a potential winner of this season.
Sure. Yeah, that's something that I like to do. I have not delivered on it every single season in recent memory. I think I don't feel like I did it with Ghost Island. I think I may have
did you rewatch
on
Game
Ghost
Changers?
Island. I don't believe that I did. I don't believe that. I did just recently rewatch Game Changers, and I still dislike that season quite a bit. just to be honest, it's just not a good season.
Don't at me.
Don't at me. But this season, so I did rewatch it, and I rewatched it quickly. And usually on these rewatches, I'll just kind of try and skip around some of the stuff that I feel like I don't need to revisit. I just need to get the meat. I just need to get the main stuff, the main course, which will often mean, with no offense intended towards the great John Kirchhoffer or even Miles Nye, that I'll often skip past the challenges. I did not skip past. Yeah, I did not skip past a single challenge on this rewatch. The challenges this season were fantastic, pretty much top to bottom, and really worth rewatching. Because I think it's through that I think would be my main takeaway of the full rewatch project. It's just the storytelling of this season was so on point that even the challenges themselves had just such incredible narrative through lines through almost every single one of them, whether it's a back and forth tug of war between sides of you don't know which team is going to win until it's too late, or even in the case of the final challenge before the merge of Jebeni just getting jablown out. There's just a lot there in every single one of these challenges that speaks to just the way that the story was told across David versus Goliath. There is this new energy in the way that Survivor communicated its course of events to us, in a way that was just so delicious. Like I think that the game was played really well this season. Sometimes it was played poorly, and that was entertaining as well. And all of that is well and good. Is the gameplay from this season like the best gameplay we've ever seen in Survivor? Don't think so, but the way that the story was told in David versus Goliath really does elevate it to a top five season for me, barring some sort of insane, ridiculously stupid thing that may happen in the finale that I'm not expecting to happen at all. The rewatch really only reinforced for me what I started saying around episode four. Best season ever, hyperbolic, but top five season of Survivor for me. That's not crazy. I think that this is a top five season of Survivor.
Okay, good. Well, I'm really excited to talk through this with you. So in terms of these six people, do you want to go from your least likely winner to most likely winner?
Least likely to most likely. Sure, I think we could do it that way. But it's hard because I think that there are arguments to be made for just about everybody. And that surprises me, that would have surprised me before the rewatch, but especially as it regards to someone like, Allison, who was thought to be like really invisible through much of the season. And she's definitely low key for large swaths of Survivor David versus Goliath,
but she never, just, pops up here and there,
just like. What I haven't made it through the Mike Bloom podcast all the way, and I assume I've just been spoiled.
No, I have new material for you.
Oh, this is new. We're doing. You're janiting me for the first time. Oh my God, Rob's low key good place watch through is really a great, great delight for me right now. I'm very happy that you're making your way through. But she janits onto the scene from time to time, and there's a great moment, especially right as the merge starts, where she narrates this idea of like the game starts now, and you can imagine this story arc for someone like Allison, where this is the moment where she activates as a threat, and she's very visible throughout the merge. So I feel like there's a path to the win for her. Narratively speaking, she has talked a lot about how she is a big threat. She's been discussed as a big threat from some of the players on the show. Others have said she's nobody to worry about. Mm-hmm. Mike White does not seem concerned about Allison at all. I'm talking about Allison now because even though I do think she is somebody who is very threatening within the game, somebody who is very clearly adored by her castmates, somebody who is very clearly physically strong and could make a run toward the top, I do think that of the six people there, her narrative argument is the thinnest. It's not non-existent, but the story for Allison is certainly the least of the six, and that's the only reason that I would have her in sixth place of the people who could still win this thing.
But I would say for Allison, while I feel like that she doesn't really have an arc in terms of her story, she starts the show telling us, hey, what do you mean I'm a Goliath? I'm a David. I had to work hard to become a doctor. And then we get the whole like definition conversation. And that's sort of like based around her. She's strategic. She's in a lot of these strategic discussions. I mean, does she have a signature move? Probably not at least as the show is presenting it, not one that you can really say that she put her stamp on the game. But I feel like that she's in the middle of a lot of this strategic maneuvering, especially after the merge.
I don't disagree with you. I agree with you on all of that. But I think you're the one who's been beating the drum recently of what's the story, story versus resume. And I think when it comes to that, when we're talking, you know, what you're listing out is a lot of great resume points for her.
Just a list of things.
You know, but what's the story? What's the story of Allison? And I think if there had been more of furthering the ball with Allison of I don't feel like I'm, you know, this Goliath. I feel like I'm somebody who has had to work incredibly hard to get to where I am. If that had really been the undercurrent of Allison's story throughout the season, I would feel a lot higher on her ability to win. But that's not the story. Yeah. That's not really there. You know, if that first moment on the barge in the marooning, if that had, you know, carried through throughout the season, I think that there's a good shot there. But I didn't see that. And I was looking for it on the rewatch.
Yeah. And Josh Wigler, winner pick. And I still think a good one because
absolutely.
As a Survivor player, I really do like her skill set.
I would feel very, very good about Allison's chances on Survivor on any season, pretty much. And I mean that, you know, not in terms of like a plug and play, put Allison in any season of Survivor and she's going to do well. Like if every season had an Allison, much like The Good Place has a Janet for all seasons, would be
incredible. Bad Allison?
Yeah, it'd be an incredible concept. I would love to see Bad Allison. But for like... For any season that Allison could come back to in the future from this moment going forward, I think that there's nothing you see from Allison this season on the show that would make you disinclined to want to work with her in the future. Mm-hmm. She's somebody that I would feel very good about surviving the pre-merge almost every single time. Really no reason to take care of her until the merge. She's a strong asset. She's a great person to be around. I think that Allison's ability to make it far in Survivor is something that, you know, it would be proven time and time again if you kept bringing Allison back. I feel good about having made Allison my winner pick. She has really, really delivered in terms of her abilities as a player. I just don't see the story for her to win, unfortunately.
Okay. All right. So, all right, let's cross off Allison then after your rewatch.
All right. And I think that maybe it's a surprise that Angelina's not all the way at the end of the list, because I think a lot of what we have seen from Angelina recently on the show, especially as it relates to Allison, as we've talked about on the podcast a little bit, of like Allison's like gives no F's about Angelina's like rice negotiation and is always rolling her eyes. And even in this past week's episode where Angelina's like, Davey, I'm going to stop you there, you know, and just like, you know, tries to bring back the rice negotiation thing again, once again, as leverage to bring her on this reward. You see Allison just like biting through her tongue in that moment. It's a very, very funny moment. And it's clearly the way that Angelina's playing the game is rubbing everybody pretty raw. It would seem, based on what we have seen on the show, that her odds of winning it feels very small. It feels like a long shot for me.
You know what? I don't care, because here's what I'm gonna manifest this. And Survivor God, if you're listening,
oh, I love, okay? The Survivor God. That I got that far.
Survivor God, if you're listening, I don't care if she can't win. You get me Angelina in that final three, okay?
I mean, I think the odds of Angelina being in the final three are high. I think they are very high. I think that the odds that we are going to see her there.
You hear me, Survivor
yes.
God?
Yeah, yeah. On. Is he here?
No.
Okay. He only speaks to Mike Bloom. Mike is his Moses. I think the odds of seeing her there are high. I don't think that it's impossible that Angelina could win. I don't want to say it's a 0.0% chance that Angelina is going to win the game, because I don't want to piss off Christian or Gabby with the redundancy. It's hard to see how she whips the votes in that direction. It would require one hell of a speech at Final Tribal, and typically the Angelina speeches land with a thud. They typically do not land well with anybody on the show.
Not for me either.
I think it's a delight. And as soon as she started talking back to Davey at that challenge, and then as soon as she started cooking the revenge rice, I was out of my chair screaming with pure joy, because I think that Angelina has added so much to the season. It was one of the things that was really fun on the rewatch, is sort of how Jacket Gate plays out, knowing Angelina's ensuing arc. That Jacket Gate is kind of this moment of, while no jackets are exchanged in the moment, a baton is passed from Napalm Natalie, who up to that point is sort of this antagonistic force of nature through the season, to Angelina scooping that up and moving forward and being this lightning rod of controversy.
Well, you know, it's also a funny moment, like now in hindsight, that there's the moment where it's in the tribal council episode where Jeremy goes home, and that Natalie is on the puzzle in that one. And then, like, after the immunity challenge, where Natalia and Angelina are talking about how that, yes, Angelina was sitting out of that challenge, but if she was in there, she would have won that immunity.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's like a precursor to this challenge that she sat out of, that she would have won if she had been in there as well.
We'll just never know, you know. Yeah. We have to live in the alternate universe in order to find out. And that's the stuff of Evolution of Strategy Volume 4. Mm-hmm. There's so much Angelina story material.
Yes.
And you know, one of the things that is still out there is this comment she makes early on in the season. It's in the season premiere, you know, about the statistics of men finding idols versus women finding idols. That's still in the drawer. That is still waiting to come out in some way, shape, or form. I feel like Angelina has to be involved in some kind of advantage in the finale. I would not be shocked at all if she gets her hands on an idol, or if she just misses out to Allison or Kara. I feel like a woman will walk away from the finale having either earned an idol or some kind of advantage in the game. And my money would be on Angelina. And I think it won't be enough to get her the win. But maybe there's a sequence of events that could occur in the finale here where Angelina could have just such a rock star finale where it's undeniable. Yeah. You know, it's undeniable that she just crushed the game and that she just played this game that is impossible to deny. I would love to see it. I think it'd be incredible to walk away from this season with Angelina as the winner. I think it's unlikely in terms of getting the votes, but story wise, I think it is likelier than Allison's story.
Okay. All right. Then who you have it for?
At the 4 and 3 spot, it's a little bit of a toss up for me. But I guess just to not be fancy fencerton about it, I'll say Mike White. I'll give it to Mike in the 4 spot, but in a 4 spot where I can really see the path. And I think that you can really see the path on the rewatch in light of the Christian vote. If the Christian vote didn't happen, I think it would be hard to see. But there's a lot of Mike going around and trying to marshal the votes against Christian at the merge. That's a move that he'd been trying to make for a very long time. There's a lot on the show of Mike being like, we have to, you know, like these Goliaths are hard to wrangle. They're like cats, really difficult to pull all of them together. And he finally gets that move and he gets the credit for taking out the, you know, the poster child of the season. Not that Christian is a child. He is an adult, the poster adult of
poster
the
man.
Season, the poster man of the season. For Mike to score that victory against the guy that he like dunked on in the very first scene of the whole show as calling him Big Bang Theory over there. The fact that he's not only able to kind of like write Christian's beginning before Christian rewrites the story himself with that slide puzzle challenge, but he's also able to author Christian's ending, tells me a lot. And I think if Christian's able to, not Christian, if Mike is able to ride that momentum through the finale, I think he's got a winning argument. I think that you can see the story for Mike if he gets there. I am held back from the fact that he is Hollywood filmmaker Mike White and who is going to vote for Hollywood filmmaker Mike White. I don't know if that's just a thing that we have invented, mm-hmm. that like that's just like an automatic block between him and being able to win on Survivor, or if that's real. It's hard for me to know, but I feel like Mike's game is stronger than perhaps he has been given credit for. Something that Christian talked about in his exits. I actually just posted today another story with Christian where he was weighing in on the six players that are remaining in the game. And that was something that Christian talked about, is how Mike was kind of this revolving door of information. If people would always be going to Mike before votes, telling him things, getting new information, that I think Mike's social game has been a lot stronger than maybe it's been portrayed on TV, or maybe how we've interpreted it. So I don't think it's a total long shot for Mike. I think that there's an argument to be made that Mike could win the game.
I don't think that Mike being a known celebrity is going to be a huge factor, and at least in terms of from what we've seen in the show, if he gets to the final three, because it has not been talked about a ton on the show. I mean, there was a conversation or two where Christian talked about that Mike is an actor, and there's the Rockstars Alliance, but I mean, the show didn't really make a meal out of Mike White being known outside of Survivor, like in the way that they have with some of the former athletes or the mayor of Slamtown or Lisa Welchel.
Right.
I think that there would be, a portion of the audience that has not really been beaten over the head with that information. I think it might be a little bit of a curveball.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that it's been out there enough that it could be remarked upon, but for that to be like a main narrative for Mike, if Mike makes it to Final Tribal, I think would be surprising. Like, I could imagine the reality of the moment may contain something like that, right? Like, if Mike makes it to the Final Tribal Council and something happened there where everyone's like, Mike, you're great, but we're not going to vote for you because you're Mike White, Hollywood filmmaker, and you've got millions of dollars, so I'm sorry. That's not, I don't imagine, making television.
Nobody said that on the show.
Yeah, like, I don't think that would be something that would make it to air. So I think if Mike gets there, I don't imagine it's going to be a big part of his arc. I think it would be more about the way that he played. And if it's true that the way that he played was that lots of people were continually going up to Mike and trusting him and giving him information and taking cues from the information that he had from other people, people might be really impressed with Mike's game. And he's, he's a David E. Goliath. So I think that there could be some satisfaction to
David V. Goliath.
Right. I think that there's some satisfaction to be had to his win fitting with the theme, which is the largest takeaway of the rewatch for me. I'm not banking on it, but I could see it, and I could see it being satisfying as well.
Okay. All right. Here is where the rubber meets the road. Okay. Three people are left. All right. Josh, you've watched now 13 and a half hours of David versus Goliath. What do your eyes tell you? What does your gut tell you?
So there's been much chatter, I feel like, both on the know-it-alls, a lot in like the Twitter sphere of could Kara Kay be the Khaleesi of Survivor David versus Goliath? And I can see it. I can absolutely see it. I think that she has played a really excellent game, much like Mike, somebody who is constantly being included in conversations that she really ought to not be included in. Having the trust of people that it's surprising to imagine how she got that trust. The fact that she, you know, that she's in the, like, the Carl conversations that she's being talked to. You know, those moments that, you know, like, when Gabby is upset, like, why are we including her in everything? I could see Kara is present. Very, very, very visible throughout the entire run of the show. I don't think that there is a huge Kara story that's currently active. I feel like the Kara arc was very much about stepping out from under the shadow of this supposed showmance with Dan and making the call of, like, that's poisonous and toxic for my game, and I gotta cut this dude because he's being a bit of a dunce and it's really not working out for me. And she moves when she needs to move in that regard. She, you know, votes against Angelina, but she's doing that knowing full well that it's time to pack up and move forward. But beyond that, there hasn't been, like, a big emotional story for Kara. So I don't really see that. I think that Kara is somebody who has underdog qualities about her in her life. Certainly, if you've listened to First One Out, she's talked about a lot of the emotional things that she has been through in her life. Her family lost a lot in some fires. She lost her mother a couple of years before the game was played. It was a big red flag for me that was not even brought up during the family visit. Personally, you would think that something like that would be would make it to air. I got to imagine that it was mentioned boots on the ground. You would think that something like that would make it to air for the emotional content of Kara for me. So I struggle to see the story for Kara, but it's impossible to ignore the high level of visibility of Kara all season long. So I think that she's in the mix. I don't think that it's impossible that she could win. I think of the Goliaths, she has the best shot, but I would have her at third of the six remaining. Even though I know that you've been talking a lot about how what path do the Davids have to get to the end, I am by putting Kara at three, I am saying that I do believe the top two spots are going to go to the two remaining Davids.
Okay, well, this is interesting because I don't like it when everybody is thinking the same thing. And just for me, in terms of, I heard, you know, Mike talk about it in his secret scenes. Okay, well, like I you know, we want you know, no Davids in the end. That's big. And then also in terms of no Davids getting to where the fire making challenge is going to be. So I have just looked at this where, you know, I feel like that the four people that are not the Davids are going to look at themselves and say, okay, we, like, it's in all of our best interest to knock these guys out. And then,
totally.
Now look, these guys have a say in the matter in terms of immunities and in terms of idols. But I don't think that they're, unless they go along with a vote to vote out the other David, I don't think that people are going to be working with these two in any of these votes coming up.
I think that that's very likely. I think that that's very likely. But, you know, on Know It All, as you and Steven talked about this matter, and Steven, I think, was the one who brought up, just one of them needs to get an idol. One of them needs to win. You know, someone wins an idol or gets an idol at final six, survives to final five, wins an immunity challenge, or you could flip that order and then wins their way through fire into the end. Like, that's the potential path for a David. You know, how does it come together? Like, what has to happen in order to get a David to final tribal council? Probably some version of that, or otherwise, like, turning the Goliaths completely on their heads and making them do something very stupid that's not in their interest. Right. I really don't know. But one of the things about where we are in Survivor right now is these finales are final sixes, which are very active, and there's so much that can happen that we just really can't predict vote to vote to vote. It's very hard to predict the finales right now, I think, from a strategic standpoint, in terms of, like, what are people going to do strategically. But I think from a story-wise standpoint, I think it's a little easier. And I it's something that Matt Van Wagenen said in my interview with him from a couple weeks back, of, we're aware of the fact that there are people who look for winner edits, and one of the things that Survivor is consciously trying to do is create winner edits for everybody, or as many people as possible, at least, where you can really see an argument for most people. And I think that there's an argument for everybody here in this finale. And in rewatching the season, something that I'm trying to do during this exercise is like, whose season is this? Like, who is the star of the show? And I don't think that I've ever really gotten it right. So I'm not really the person to lean on for something like this. But I didn't see this as any one person's season. I saw it as the David season, though. I saw it as a season where, like, every moment of triumph and every like uplifting thematic beat was about a David conquering a Goliath. And not that Survivor can, like, you know, jerry-rig the story in such a way where David is going to triumph automatically against a Goliath, but you just, the way that it was told all the way through, you never really feel great about a Goliath beating a David. Like, it's very rarely the case where Goliath triumphs over David and you're supposed to feel good about it, at least the way that I interpreted it. So I feel like a David's got to win, and there's really only two choices. So flip a coin. For me, Nick or Davey is going to win this season, and I have no idea how it's going to happen, but I'm fairly sure that that's where it's going.
Do you have it 51-49 for one of the two?
I would probably tip it a little bit more than that to 60-40 Nick to Davey. I think that there's more story material for Nick than there is for Davey, but Davey's name is Davey on David versus Goliath, and that could give him the edge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just arbitrary and reductive.
Just in terms of the cosmic quality, potentially, of this season. No, I think that there is more story for Nick, and I think that Nick has been somebody who has been plugged into the game along the way a little bit more than Davey, at least in its portrayal. So, yeah, I think, you know, flip a coin. I don't fully need to do that. I would just say Nick over Davey for me, just not by a ton, but by enough that I would say Nick is the guy that I'm looking to see as the winner on Wednesday night.
Okay. Very excited to see how it's all going to play out in terms of the finale. Anything else? Any other story that you feel like you need to see resolved coming up in this 2+ hours plus finale reunion?
I feel like Christian needs to have like a really big moment at the final tribal council as a juror in order for the Christian character arc to be really satisfying. I like what happened with Christian. As I said earlier, I think that it's kind of an exciting thing to have your main, you know, like sort of your poster man of the season just removed from the game with very, very little fanfare. It's exciting. It's confusing. You know, it's frustrating for some, but I think it's really in character with Christian's first tribal council, where the first monologue that he really delivers at tribal council is this conversation about the roller coaster and how there's no exhilaration without risk. And would you really enjoy being on the roller coaster if you didn't think that there is some possibility that maybe you're going to die out of nowhere? And for that to be the way that the Christian ride kind of ends up, where you're feeling safe, you're feeling secure. Christian is not really on the show that much this week. He's being talked about as a possibility, but Mike has said this before, how is he going to shore up the votes to do it? All of the attention seems to be on Nick and Davey with Allison as a possibility. No chance that it's going to be Christian in such a quiet night, and suddenly he's gone. So I think that that's kind of an exciting way to play that exit. I think it's in line thematically with what Christian had established earlier in the season, but I don't think it'll be satisfying unless he gets to have like one last really Christian-y type of moment in the final tribal council. And I think that the format of the final tribal council really allows for a moment like that. I think that that's something that we're, you know, almost guaranteed to see, is some like very, very Christian, you know, on brand type of speech for Christian as we leave the season.
Do you think it is a close vote, or do you feel like that we are headed towards a blowout?
I don't know. It depends on who's there. I could see it being fairly close. Like I could see that being the case. Like, I think that there are enough people who have been set up here along the way with winning upside that you get to the game, and almost nobody, really nobody who is remaining has been portrayed perfectly You know, Nick has been portrayed as somebody who's been very emotional at times. The way that he got so angry about the Christian stuff, he looked real flustered in this last tribal council, was not a good look for Nick. For Davey, somebody who's been left outside of the vote a couple of times, including his very first vote. So I think that there are reasons to imagine that it could be a competitive vote. I don't think that it's going to be an automatic slam dunk. I don't think that we're going to see two Davids in the finals. I think that's very hard to imagine. Mm-hmm. So that could be a thing where you could see some Goliath split a vote at the final three.
Yeah, that'd be a very interesting scenario if Davey and Nick get there. And then in terms of what votes do they split and could the Goliath pick up? I think that's hard to imagine, though. Yeah. But I think that was like kind of like the Laurel plan going back to last season where she felt like that. OK, well, Dom and Wendell will split votes. And then, you know, could she get to four?
Yeah, it's really difficult to imagine the world in which those two are at the end together. It'd be really fun. And then maybe Angelina splits the vote and wins. I mean, that would be a remarkable ending to this season that I would be very, very happy about. Just a hard one to picture. But I mean, I guess not hard to picture. We just pictured it.
OK. All right. Well, Josh, anything else you want to say about the lead up to this season's finale coming up on Wednesday before we head into our final wand off of the season?
No, I'm very excited. I've loved this season. I have really enjoyed I've loved being on the podcast with you every week, but I've really loved the stuff that we've been doing on THR. I'm really proud of the coverage. It's my favorite season of coverage that I've done since I've been doing the press stuff. I'll just plug it one more time. THR.com/Survivor. We've got that additional Christian interview that I mentioned. We've got an interview with Probst that's going to be up on Tuesday. On Wednesday, I'm going to have a roundup of all of the coverage that we've done with like a quick recap of the highlights of the season. So you don't have to do a crazy rewatch in the run up. If you don't have time, you just can read the article and you'll be set. You'll be reminded on all the big stuff. Very happy with how it all turned out. I'm really thankful for all of you who helped make this such a success. It was a really good season of coverage for us, and I'm very excited about what we've got moving forward.
All right, before we get to our final wand off of the season, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor of the wand off, and those are our friends over at stamps.com. Now, the holidays are the busiest time of the year, of course, because the Survivor finale is right there as well. So much going on. People just, you know, busy going to the store for their holiday parties and the Survivor finale parties and all sorts of things going on. Of course, that I have been using stamps.com for many years, Josh. And in fact, stamps.com is the exact way that I send out the Wigglers Wombats hats to the winners of the wand off. Could you imagine if I had to go to the post office for every single week of the wand off?
No, that sounds like hell. Sounds like a nightmare. True
Stamps.com brings all of the services to the U.S. Post Office right to your desktop. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail using your own computer and printer. The mail carrier picks it up. No trips to the post office required. It couldn't be easier. Print postage any day, anytime. Stamps.com is always open. And Stamps.com not only saves you time, it also saves you money. Angelina herself could not have negotiated a better deal for you because Stamps.com...
You only have to say that because they're a sponsor, but you know it's not true. Angelina could negotiate the best deal.
No, she could not do even better. She may have been consulted by them because they help you print the right amount of postage every time, and you never have to overpay. And with Stamps.com, you get discounts on postage that you can't even get at the post office. With all the time and the money that you'll save, Stamps.com is the best gift you can give yourself this holiday season. I've used Stamps.com for probably about 4 years, and I would not be able to do all the shipping that I do for Patreon and for the wand off without it. So it is a must have for me as a small business owner. Right now, you too can enjoy stamps.com with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and the digital scale without the long-term commitments. Go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in RHAP. That's stamps.com. And then type in the promo code RHAP. Josh, and the digital scale is great.
It's better than the digital grayscale, that's for sure.
Yeah, have you had the digital grayscale?
It's like a computer virus. You just got to shave a little bit of that virus right off, and then you are fully cured.
Stop right there. You want to know right now. Before you go any further, this is Wanda, and you're in my arena if you need to. You can straight up leave here. It would make me so happy for the rest of my life if you'd shut the shirk up and just eat your damn rice. It's the Wanda. It's the Wanda forever if you need to. You can straight up leave here, but it'll make you so happy for the rest of your life if you turn the songs up and turn out to be nice. You ought to know right now. Before you go any further, it's the Wanda. It'll be here forever.
Final Wand Off time, Josh Wiggler.
It's the final Wand Off.
Oh my God.
Oh my
All right.
God.
Well, we talked in the beginning of the show about some controversy here in the final week of the Wand Off for the season regarding the format of the final Wand Off. And so in the oral history of the Wand Off in season 35, the final Wand Offs came after the end of season 35, but it turned out because of, you know, the holidays, people go away, and then we heard from people, hey, this wasn't easy for me over the holidays to record a Wand Off. And there were a couple people that were had won during the season, and we're like, look, I don't have anything for you. I was celebrating the holidays. And so then also, we did it all in January, and we lost a lot of steam, where not a ton of people were even still interested in hearing the Wand-Offs by the time we got to them. And so, in season 36, what we did was to try to keep it all part of the season, so we wouldn't then have, like, a big break at the end of the season because of different things that were going on. Then we said, let's all make it part of the season, and I thought it went well last season. I don't remember a lot of complaints in the real time.
I mean, I have very tight filters on my Twitter where I typically don't see much of the complaints, so I can't really weigh in. And I certainly am.
I do not come away from that being like, oof, boy, we've made a huge mistake here. But it did seem like that there was a pushback at the end of this season in terms of having the final Wand Off here at the pre-finale episode of The Wiggle Room.
Yes. And you know, we'll talk about it offline, you know, you and I, Rob, about what to do in the future. Certainly not locked into any one idea.
Yeah. Very open.
We're very, very open. An email works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
An email would be great. You know, maybe a few weeks in advance wouldn't be the worst thing, as opposed to like a big Twitter explosion would be great to avoid. In the future, just speaking purely for me, not my favorite way of handling my business.
And with time, you know, it's easier to sort of like, I mean, the Wiggle Room is, you know, is an oil tanker. It doesn't, you know, this is not a speedboat. It's not a Zodiac. Can't, you know, turn it around 180 degrees on the drop of the dime. That's how, you know, Pat goes flying. You try to pull a move like that.
Just a lot of shit going on over here, Rob, that I don't need the tweet storms on top of everything. I had a very tough week last week, and things are not great right now, so but an email would be wonderful. An email would be great. Do this in private would be fantastic. That all being said, I am thrilled to be here with the final Wand Off right now, where we got a jacket on the line.
Yes. Okay. Have we agreed on a design for the jacket for the final Wand Off?
I mean, I think agree is a strong word. I think we have a jacket on the line. And I think depending on who the winner of the final Wand Off is, they're going to be very excited about the jacket that we have. Or they're going to feel very meh about it the way that some people feel meh about the Wombats hats themselves.
And you should see the jackets.
Yes. That was, by the way, the best line of the Survivor gods. The jackets up there are really, really great.
Okay. All right. So we also have some business to discuss in terms of there being someone added to the roster here for the final wand off of the season. And so I can tell you that the person that was added to the final wand off was a person that received 31.94% of the vote. In third place last week, it was Becky and Taylor with 19.62% of the vote. Don't go voting me out. Was there?
I liked that. Yeah, I liked that a lot.
All right. Once again this season, for the second time, this person is getting the silver medal in a week of the wand off. It was Graham from the Bay with 26.72% of the vote. The careless flipper.
Love you, Bay.
Love you, Bay. Okay.
Love you, Graham from the Bay.
But here we are. Now, with 31.94% of the vote, welcome to the final wand off, Matt from Waterloo.
Whoa!
This week, went at Tribal. Christian did something vital. Gave quite a shock when he grabbed his sock and whipped out his idol.
Here we go! New grab his sock on time, his sock on time to keep it fine. New Bicky! New Bicky!
Bicky! Bicky! Bicky!
Okay.
Wow. So, all right. Welcome to the squad. Matt from Waterloo. Here's your hat. Put it on.
The tabulator, Kirk Clark, got the results by Thursday. And so Matt from Waterloo will be here in the winner circle with the wand off winners from this season, which include two-time winner Corey B, Jenny and Colin, two-time winner Karen from Canada, JD and Leah, Season 36 winner Tyler Jacob Jones, Alex G, Pineapple Boy 27 featuring Phil from Canada, Season 35 wand off winner DJ LaBelle Klein, and now Matt from Waterloo. And that is the field. They had the opportunity to send us a final wand off this week and compete for the big wand off jacket. But first, Josh, we need to welcome in the host of the Wand Off one last time here in season 37 to break it all down. Please give it up for the final time here. It's Casey Kasem. Josh, it's a pleasure to be back here with you in the final Wand Off.
Casey, is the Survivor God doing okay? Does he need a throat lozenger? Can I give you one to like give to him when you go back, when you leave here?
Survivor God is doing a lot better than if he had to do the voice of the Survivor Devil.
I'm sure that's true.
That
oh
one
my God.
Could really knock your voice out for a day or two.
Yeah. Oh, I believe it. I believe it.
All right. Josh Wiggler. Just to set things up here at the top of the show, it's going to be a quick turnaround between now and the reveal of the winner of the final wand off. Votes for the winner must be cast between now and Wednesday at midnight Eastern time after the Survivor finale. But first, Josh, it's the final week, but it doesn't mean that we don't have some honorable mentions to get to.
Oh, gosh. Yes. Ultra-sized wand off. It's big. It's a big wand off.
And based on how long most of the entries are for the final wand off, it'll be a short round of honorable mentions.
Fair enough. Oh, man, I'm nervous.
Since it's the holiday season, it's only fitting to kick off this week's honorable mentions with a holiday song. This one is from Sammy and the Shower Man.
All right, you Goliaths, ready to send Christian home?
Certainly, Mike. Yeah, Mike, that's a great plan.
Okay, Kara?
Okay.
Okay, Allison?
Okay, 85-year-old man.
Okay, Angelina? Angelina? Angelina!
This is Christian's time here. Time to get him out of here. He's the sweetheart of the cast. Sorry, Christian can't outlast. He's too smart and he's too nice.
You guys, you remember? Remember when I won us, right?
You can hide
That was a holiday classic from Alvin and the Silas Chip Gaither monks.
I like to imagine that that's a group of people who are huge fans of Silas Chip Gaither that feel like he got robbed in that first twist and took a vow of silence and moved into a monastery somewhere and became the Silas Chip Gaither monk.
Smokes.
Smokes. Does anyone remember that? Because that was great.
Next up, we've got another holiday wand-off honorable mention, and it comes to us from our great friend Michael Clark, who's got a holiday anthem for Christian.
So that was Christian. Expressive as no more idol savior. Ran out of love. So bye bye, Christian. On the whims of my wife, your charm was infectious. Your game was
all right. That was a holiday classic from Bobby John Lennon.
Oh my God, passed out on the ground. Bobby John.
This week we had an amazing immunity challenge, and we can't let the week pass without Sarah and Lyndall from Australia weighing in on that challenge.
And all the balls you have to grab are grinding. And Davey's balls in unison declining.
Which is worse, balls are clay or balls are separate in this challenge? I said, Davey, you're gonna need those things to make babies. Rickenbacker
dropped his meaty clackers.
Dropped his meaty what?
Dropped his meaty clackers.
Lyndall, you're insane in the most wonderful way.
That was a classic jam from the group Foa Foasis. Josh, we begin to turn our attention to the final wand off. And here to get us in the mood is Tom F.
Wand off. Wrong. Casey.
Final wand off in the feed tonight. Wombat Nation loves Monday night. Send complaints to Wet Pineapple Boy. Are you ready for some season's joy? Final wind up, David and Goliath. Wombat Jacket will be super fly. Finalists will kill it every time. We just want to hear them.
That was a hot jam from the band LMFAOAIOAIOAIOAI.
That's really, really funny. That's great.
And now,
that's really funny.
Speaking of the Survivor theme song, here's Becky and Taylor to set the stage for what's coming up next.
Only one question.
The Wand Off for Survivor 37. It's the third season of Wand Offs, and it's filled with great talent such as me, Jayla Belfast, Sandra
Columbus got the wild card. Leah and husband J.D. No spice this time. Who in the wonder could it be? Colin and Jenny this time. Maybe some other Canadian like Bill from Canada. Welcome to the final wonder, Karen from Canada. Heading down under, last but not least, Tyler Jacob Jones, the singing bee.
What a great score by the composer Russ Exile Islandow.
Oh man, I can't wait to play that theme song when we do the eventual Bryant Steele Survivor Wand Off. It's gonna be a great great little ditty to kick us off. Incredible. That was amazing.
Not sure how aware you are, but that is an idea that is currently being pitched.
As we speak.
Josh, let's talk about the Wandoff finalists. They have submitted their songs, and we will listen to them in the order in which they won. And for the two-time winners, we will hear their songs in the order of which their second win occurred.
Okay.
Now, before we begin, I have some sad news to report.
Oh, no.
Sadly, Jenny and Colin did not get us a final Wandoff entry. The timing did not work out. And so we only have 9 final Wandoffs to listen to.
Jenny and Colin, I believe in your ability to return to the final Wandoff and compete for that jacket. You are deeply missed here, and I love you both very, very, very much.
First up, we'll start things off with a pair that has made it to this point before. They were the episode 4 winners. Here is JD and Leah.
Way back when we were all young and innocent, and we thought this season's theme was really stupid, and we didn't know that the cast was full of beautiful unicorns and cats. You know the time. Well, anyway, back then the superfans were like, meh, and everyone was so whiny. Except, of course, for the undeniable fact that every single Wednesday, Josh Wiggler would tweet about how this was the best season ever.
I did do that.
Best season ever! Every single Wednesday, we all thought he was crazy. So we all said to Josh, we said, hey, Josh, what's with all the hyperbole? And that dear sweet Wiggler, he just looked at us like a superfan looks at Nicaragua. And he leaned real close to the mic. And he said, don't at me, bro! And then he opened up his text and read a message that said, babe, that created a whole new category of Wandoff where we just talked about Josh a bunch. I dream professionals were balanced and a player would really like beer. And a wrestler would seem oh so cuddly. Where David and Goliath played advantages but never wrong. And you know what? These are actually probably really specific dreams that won't happen. Waka waka doo doo, yeah! Well, let me tell you people, it wasn't long at all before my dreams came true. And in the very first scene, it became exceedingly clear that this season could be something special when Christian solved a slide puzzle before Gabby could even start crying. It could have been better, but he still won the reward. And then the dumb song started flowing. From Wanda Turkey. Wanda Turkey. And you know what? We haven't even got to eggs. Or Natalie or Jackets or Queen Angelina haven't even got to eggs. Or Natalie or Jackets or Queen Angelina haven't even got to eggs. Or Natalie or Jackets or Queen Angelina. We were worried that the big scary cyclone and the days of rain and the evacuation and the lack of alone time would lead to a super boring, predictable run-of-the-mill tribal. But instead of that, we got a new legend. Angelina asks for stuff. And that wrestler is oh so cuddly. But he wasn't even at this tribal, so chill your bean. Whoops, my bad. I'll wait. Well, Angelina was cold, and they were jacked galore, but she'd have to vote someone out first. And when Natalie tried to acquire Lyrsa's coat by yelling at it, it went so very, very bad. Then suddenly, Natalie's at the door. But Angelina has a plan. She says, Natalie! There's no answer. Natalie! There's no answer. Natalie! She's not saying anything! So Natalie stayed warm, and Angelina stayed cold, and just as we suspected. There's a bunch of cats on this season hauling giant milk saucers around the beach. Oh man, sometimes this show is weird. So anyway, the time travel must have been invented. Because from somewhere in the future, they heard the familiar voice of Jeff Probst. And you know what he said? I'll tell you what he said.
If you like to play with balls when there's seven in the game, you'll get the chance to clang them or to separate them. If you'd like to play with balls when there's seven in the game, you get the chance to clang them or to separate them.
Hey, Wanda Shirky! Wanda Shirky!
Let's talk about some more Angelina. The tribe needed some rice, and she was just the woman for the job. So she walked into the challenge and started negotiating. And Jeff said, yeah, go. She said, do you want our hammock? He said, no, I don't want your hammock. She said, do you want our cooking utensils? He said, no, I don't want your cooking utensils. She said, do you want our chairs? He said, no, I don't want your chairs. She said, do you want our tea? He said, no, I don't want your tea. She said, do you want our coffee? He said, no, I don't want your coffee.
And with all due respect, we're going to cut it here. This is a over 6 minute track.
Wow!
From JD and Leo. They also submitted 9 minute and 11 minute versions of this track.
Wow! JD and Leo, you guys are incredible and crazy!
But in the interest of fairness, I let it go as long as the longest wand-offs that we got here in the finals.
Wow. Oh my God. That is hysterical. That's really amazing. So that's in the SoundCloud, the full version.
The full 6 minute version is available in the SoundCloud, and we can probably upload the 9 minute and the 11.
Yes, please do.
As well.
That's so great.
Okay. That was from Weird Albert DeStrada Yankovic.
I'm tickled. I'm deeply tickled.
Next up, we're going to hear from a two-time wand-off winner. And that would be Karen from Canada. Here she is in the finals for the first time, talking about Mr. Mike White.
White Michael, White Michael, White Michael. Mama is in white.
White Michael,
White Michael. White Michael.
My name is White, comma Michael, or just simply Mike White. I've been almost invisible. I'll introduce myself tonight.
Not a dick. I'm polite.
I'm a cat
in the night.
If you bark at me,
hey man.
Rogues were never my scene, and I don't like rock stars.
Time to step up my game. I've got balls on a tray. Gonna outlast the whole gang.
Kara, Angelina, then Christian, Nick, and Allison.
And we have a winner. Fight, Michael. Nice, Michael. Fight, Michael.
I want to flip to
nice tribal. My tribal. My tribal.
My name is White, comma Michael. I just turned 85. My tribe may think I'm kind of old. They don't know that my dry, itchy face is now coming to play. I'll send them to the jury, oh yeah. Holding my cards tightly right to my chest, I'm about to go all in, oh yeah.
On your marks, get set, go!
Wait, hold on. Gotta scratch something.
My
itchy face. My itchy face. My
itchy face.
I gotta focus.
Rise, Michael. Strike, Michael. Try, Michael.
I want to itch my
life. Michael.
Strike, Michael.
Fight, Michael. Fight, Michael.
Why,
Michael?
Drive
Michael's face.
Bing, 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 bing. Bing, bing. Bing, bing. Bing, 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 bing. Secret cat.
cat whiskers, they itch.
Oh my gosh.
Grow in my beard and I can't help but scratch it. Now who's gonna take me and Angelina to the end? I'm not a threat. Plus, I'm like super rich. Hey! I got no resume. I'm a goat on a plate. Vegan dog, take me to the end. I don't want to be the president of Ponderosa. Check my IMDb. Wrote emoji movie. Got no chance. Really, I just want to shatter my sixth place. Finish an amazing race. Please, won't you consider?
White Michael.
Tell Jeff you will bring.
White Michael.
My name is White, comma, Michael. I just want to survive to the final tribal council and win the game finale night.
That was a great anthem by the band The Queen Stays Queen.
Adios. Oh my God. That's,
and in case you're
amazing.
Wondering, yes, they're all this long. If you were waiting to squeeze in the wand off before you go into work, you are going to be really late.
Oh, my God.
Our third entry here in the final wand off comes to us from our episode 6 and season 36 final wand off winner. It comes to us from the perspective of one Angelina.
Oh,
here
yes.
Is last season's reigning champion, Mr. Tyler Jacob Jones.
Here's how it's going to work. You're each going to get a chance to make an opening statement. Angelina, you're up.
Yes.
I don't really know quite where to start to explain my game. You should just vote from the heart. I'm not gonna beg for your respect or pander.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Don't wanna waste my breath. But when you were hungry, who got you rice? For no other reason but being nice. Who replenished your cup? God, I hate to bring this up. It was me who played the greatest game. Got an idol wasted in her name. Who survived every vote and without a winter coat. It was me.
It was you.
My life has been a fairy tale. Stanford U for a few, then an MBA from Yale. But I do not want to dwell on that. Please hold your applause.
You are glorious.
Well, stop it, guys, no more.
I know you know I'm really great. If that's not what you advocate,
then let's negotiate! Cause I know that I have played real hard. And if I must, I'll play the race card! Cause I had your back when you needed food. If you vote for me, that would be a move. Am I using that right? I speak true. I'm the poster girl for humility. Watch out, it's time to vote. And if there's any doubt about who's the goat, as in greatest of all, time to play an easy call. It was me.
It was me. Oh, God, I did it. It was me.
Yeah. That's really funny.
That was a great number from the soundtrack of the film The Greatest Showman.
Yes. Perfect. Absolutely perfect pairing. That's great.
Up next, we've got our fourth Wandoff finalist. And this is Mr. Alex G, who was the winner of the episode number 7, Wandoff.
Okay.
He gave us a special dedication to his own song. And it reads, during season 36, this singer was constantly overlooked, not securing his place in the final Wandoff until the final week of the regular season. Self-labeled as an underdog of the Wandoff, this singer was an inch away from snagging gold in the Ghost Island final Wandoff. Some have called him a robbed W. Ombad. This season, he's transitioned from the David of the Wandoff to a Goliath of the Wandoff.
Wow.
And he's here to take what's rightfully his, the first place winning Wombat jacket.
Wow.
Here
first,
he is.
First jacket.
Alex G.
This is a hidden immunity item. And this
is the Wandoff Wandifier. This Wandifier was played on Alex G.
Oh, man.
Any final Wandoff sung by Alex G
will still count.
I'll play the track.
Happy White Rice Wednesday. It's the final Wandoff. It's Alex G, and the G stands for Goliath. David vs. Goliath is the best season ever.
Wow.
Josh Wiggler and Rob C will surely agree with me. David, we're starting wrong. Cyclones evacuations. Goliaths, we're standing strong. Except for Jeremy. Swap tribes leads to blindsides and forming the Brochachos. And finally getting rid of Napalm Natalie. Then at the merge, the Davids found some slingshots. Slayed some Goliaths until they were boned. But then the Davids were starting to implode. Turned on each other and now they've gone home. Now there are just 6 left. They round out the Seku bunch. Heading to finale. We're one at a time they can get. Bing Baby and Nick need to fight hard to get the final tribal. But we'll probably end up with Angelina talking about rice. It's the final Wandoff. It's the final Wandoff. If you wanna win the Wandoff, if you wanna win this Wandoff, you're gonna have to slay these Wombats one at a time with a new Wandoff Wandoffire. I heard that Pat's tweaked back is alright. You tried to talk nerdy to me, but you've got boogers on your teeth because you brought the Charmpaka. Let's take a Davy, our cats, and Christian's a pro. Cha-Cha, Elizabeth, and Angelina's feud. Pineapple on the beat, dumb Dan played his idol. Carl's got plans, but he's so wasted. Wandoff winners, guys, and me, is there any way I can have your new first place prize winning Wombat jacket? Why should I? I don't have to. And I chose not to. So I'll be wearing it. Just kidding, love them all. My favorite group of wombats. I'd let them try it on for size at any time. Cause here at RAJP, we've all become a family. Watching our favorite show and reinventing how this Wandoff is played. David vs. Goliath is the best season ever. Josh Wiggler and Rob C will surely agree with me. If it weren't for Bee's knee, everyone would see what I see. If you don't agree with me, sounds like a bunch of malarkey to me. Goodbye season 37, Alex G. This was the best season, don't at me.
Woohoo!
That was a medley of songs from Super Idol Mario Brothers.
Definitely thought you were going Super Mario Takahashi Brothers. I'm actually surprised early on in this process. I thought that's where you were going.
That
well done.
Would have probably been better.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Picking up the note that your boy likes video game music and really running with it. Like, you got the star and you're invincible. Amazing. Very funny. Very, very good.
Next up, we've got a song from Mr. Phil T featuring Pineapple Boy 27.
But isn't it supposed to be the other way around? Didn't Pineapple Boy 27 win the Wandoff, Phil? I hope that this is kosher with him.
We'll have to sort it out.
I'll allow it.
We'll allow
just,
it.
Just,
Here is Phil T featuring Pineapple Boy 27. Buckle up again.
Oh, God.
This is a food correctional facility. Collect call from
Pineapple Boy 27.
Oh, no!
To accept the charges, say yes.
Yes. Hello, Pineapple Boy. What the hell is going on, bro?
Oh, hey, Phil T. I got locked up. You're going to have to come save me if you want a chance to jail.
Wait, what's going on here? How did you get locked up?
I didn't do it, okay? It's just, can you please get me out here?
Bro,
like,
we literally have
3 hours. It's not the proper climate for a tropical food like me. So
how are you in jail?
Right away.
We were talking over each other because we were different people. Okay. I'm on my way. F*** it.
Who will be the 37th winner in history?
What are you doing?
Angelina has a picture with Sia. Allison did yoga, then got some diarrhea. Diarrhea.
Come on.
Diarrhea. Diarrhea. Diarrhea.
Shut your mouth and get in that damn car, you bad little pineapple. Just sing the damn song. Just sing the damn song, okay?
Okay.
Jury's huge, Ubiqui stands. Back in high school, I did the robot at the dance. Now it's final six and Christian doesn't have a chance. I just flipped the plan. 3 more days until I'm champ. Got Chris out by Mike White.
By Mike White.
Bye, chops you right.
Yeah. Safe for the night.
Hey.
Apple 27, boy, think Mike can't win the milli. Then dear God, you must be silly.
Connie wrote School of Rock.
Yeah.
And just nice.
Yeah, right.
She got rice.
She's nice.
Paid the price.
Uh-huh.
Lay up at the 3. Think she might. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
She got rice.
Again?
Gotta say it twice.
No,
oh, dear Christ.
Yeah.
Cats over mice. That's what I like.
Yeah.
F picks in line. Yeah. Doc, I respect. But she a threat. When I shoot my shot, I shot ready like I'm Jeff.
Pew,
see the shots
pew.
That I took.
Hey.
Wet like I'm cooked.
Hey.
Wet like I'm Fiji.
That's really wet.
Beers on my head, voting blocks, get out Christy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, where is he?
Yeah, what?
No one's seen him.
I've seen him.
I went and cleaned him.
He's that Ponderosa.
Jerry's huge, Ubiqui stands. Back in high school, I did the robot at the dance. Now it's final six and Christian doesn't have a chance. I just put the plan, 3 more days until I'm champ. Got Chris out, like Mike White.
Like Mike White.
By Mike White.
By Mike White.
By Mike White.
I'm Mike White.
I am Mike White.
No,
yeah,
I
just called my shot, I might look silly Wednesday night.
Ha.
He said his pick is locked, I said it's arbitrary, right?
Ha.
I'm a silly, silly, silly little
get on the ground now!
This is all you.
Get down!
Oh, no!
Hands where I can see
them!
You have the right to remain silent.
What is this? That was a song from Travis Scott Pollard featuring Drake Tribe.
I can't believe Pineapple Boy 27 was arrested. It seems potentially has been shot by the police.
We're through 5 of the final 9 one-offs. Even Brad Culpepper is questioning this map. Only 4 more
I'm
final
dead.
One-off entries to go.
I'm dead. Pineapple Boy 27.
We'll be it's done dead. In time for the Survivor finale, and
no.
There'll be time to vote.
Oh, God.
Next up, we've got the winner from episode number 9. He is the season 35 winner of the one-off.
Yes, he is.
Here is the great DJ LaBelle Klein.
Oh, no. Oh, pandering. I like it.
One day more. I did not have this song made yesterday, but inspiration came and found a way. Tomorrow we will watch and see which of the 6 make final 3. One day
I know
more.
It will be Caracay. I won't admit I read the edit.
One day more.
Who could have guessed how well she played?
After the photo that's at Earth.
I want to say hi, Allison.
Will she rise and beat the men?
Was her edit a red herring?
Out of sight before the merge.
She is not a callous
one. Come on, Janet, make a surge.
Have you seen how great her hair is? One more David could go far.
But they seem in deep doo-doo.
Just one David needs to make.
Where is David?
Is he there?
Is it Nick who passed the bar?
Will he be the millionaire?
Will
make the final? Viewing public, money mouth faced emoji.
Antonina, please, Nana win it all. Tearing through the season like a cannonball. Taking lots of risks, will she roll the dice? Did you know that Angelina won the race?
A great season from beginning.
It's at least in the top five.
Will it pass up Kagaya?
Watching Tony win was fun.
It all hinges on the ending.
How they got there, how they won.
Satisfying end would really suck. It'd feel like this.
Thanks, guys, and I'll see you next season.
That was a song from the soundtrack of the play Les Miserables of Backnick.
Wow. Of all the Robs. Oh, my God. He's the one that you'll need a barricade in front of. Because if he gets his hands on you, you'll be in the attack zone. And it would be bad. Be like, you wind up like poor Gavroche.
It would be really bad.
Oh, my gosh. Everyone knows I love the Les Mis.
66% of the way there.
Oh, my goodness.
Only
oh, my
three
gracious.
Final wand offs to go.
Oh, my tummy hurts from the laughs. From the laughs is where it's at. There's much laughter.
Next up, we'll hear from Bob from Columbus. He got into the final wand off in the most unusual way. He came in second yes. on the double episode. And because of the twist, he made it to the final wand off. Some said he should have got there on the back of Mr. Roboto. But then others said that Casey Kasem really screwed up the wand off that week. Here is
me.
His entry into the final wand off.
Truck 108 Super Sounds of the 70s wand off just keeps on coming with this little ditty from the Taj Johnson George Baker selection.
Oh my God.
But I'm right anyway, I will hear Jeff Pope say, hey, where's the night? Etchick's right, the winner is Kara K. Looking like a million bucks, but the final three is still as rocks, I guess. I'm not a threat or a brunette.
And if you're caller number 12, you'll win tickets to the Monster Truck 108 Extravaganza featuring Big Tom's truck, Davey versus Behemoth.
Ricky Backer! They'll never see me coming! Ricky Backer! Come on! I'm playing this game like my boy Rick Grimes, man. Bringing down the apocalypse is so divine, yeah. I'm a Super Smash Brother, gonna see this through, man. Cause I'm coming at you like a powered Pikachu, yeah. Davey!
Truck 108's Super Sounds of the 70s continues with this Dylan-esque number from Steeler Votes, Wheel.
Well, I joined up with screenwriter Mike White, and our air guitar is a good sound bite. After Tribal, I was feeling despair, cause my idol misplay was a nightmare. Sent David's to the jury, Goliaths are so tight, here I am, man, in alliance with you.
We just keep trucking on the station where the 70s survived. Truck 108.
Doctor, they all say you are a threat. They said, Doctor.
doctor, but this edit we don't get. They said, doctor,
doctor!
This is making us upset. They said, doctor,
Pilots!
And their name Bryce did forget.
The Super Sounds of the 70s, brought to you by Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat.
I will tell you freely, I would guarantee, the season wouldn't be so good without Miss Keeley when she's on screen doing her thing, not hyperbole, to say I'm worshipping. I'm hooked on Akili. She'll be back ideally, 'cause she is great TV. Yeah.
That last note should not be in there. That was a medley of songs from the soundtrack of the film Reservoir Bob Dogs.
Or Reservoir Cats. How about that?
All right.
It's Bob C. You got Bob from Club. It's kind of sound Tyson-esque.
Yeah. May have been a cameo in the final Wandoff.
Wow. How about that? And Tyson vying for a wombat hat. You just have to ask, man. I got you.
Bob from Columbus upgrading from the mayo jar.
I mean, it is an upgrade. Big upgrade.
In the week that Bob from Columbus took home a silver medal, one Wandoff artist won his second Wandoff week of the year. Here is Corey B with something for everybody in the final six.
Final six, one by one, sing it out like they won, yeah. DJ Kavis, another wonder. Okay, sorry.
Kara's on a dark horse run. Final three was weak, she won. She in theory was the best. That's who I'll vote for.
Don't miss out on Allison. She tears this game apart. You'll see the Grim Reaper drop his number when she's through. Yeah, you just thought she can't win. Purple from the start. She's just making sure it wasn't obvious to you. Oh, no, she's not a baby, not a cat. So she's a better underdog than mine.
Okay, just listen to what I say. Ooh, Divi, I love you playing in the game.
It's so good. Yeah.
You found an idol in every way. Resume, yeah. I wanna say that you won the game. Oh. Don't forget the other David.
Ooh,
he gave Dom a lion's.
James!
Would you ever see a bacon being here? Me neither.
James!
Everybody vote for this deceiver. Procedure.
James!
Wrestling lions and horses seems to got to stay. And no one else could vote you better.
It's a lot of rice for us. Here's some good advice. Discuss. If you speak, she'll interject. Tape production, rice project. It's a lot of rice for us. People were not nice. So what? As a traitor, she got stripped. As a winner, she gets picked. It's a lot of rice. What the place was.
That was a compilation from various artists. Sylvester, a.k.a. Rita, various artists. Josh, believe it or not, we've only got one Wanda finalist left to listen to.
Oh my goodness gracious me.
He is the guy that just got in this week. He's a newcomer to the Wandoff Winner Circle. Please give it up for our ninth and final entry into this season's final Wandoff. Here's Matt from Waterloo.
Survivor season 37.
It's so good.
It's so young. Don't knock me.
From the day they arrived in Fiji, and the cyclone nearly wiped them out, there's been more to see than just Queen Natalie. More to do than just having your balls drop.
The baby's balls drop at the same time.
There's a Mason Dixon, Bro Chachos, and the rock star.
The cats.
Stick twirling when the vote still was found. And when tension got high, you knew that Gabby would cry. And in the end, just one winner is crowned in the Survivor Live.
Whoa.
Look. If you had one shot, one opportunity to get all the rice necessary to last to the end of the game, in one moment, guarantee yourself on every reward and a spot in the final three. Would you capture it or just let it slip? Yo. Her palms are sweaty, but she's negotiation ready. Hoping for some good food, maybe mom's spaghetti. She's nervous, but on the surface she looks calm and ready to negotiate with Jeff, but he ain't settled.
You better pull yourself from the challenge, the moment to own the rice and just never let it go. You only get one shot to sit out for rice, and you know that for this, they'll owe you for a lifetime. You better pull yourself from the challenge, the moment to own the rice and just never let it go. You only get one shot to sit out for rice, and you know that you can hold it over them for a lifetime.
I didn't want to use me winning rice for the tribe as any sort of currency, but...
And to bring us home, there was some
Emily.
Nicely done, Rob.
It's a lot.
Josh Wiggler. Now,
Casey Kasem.
We've heard the nine Wanda finalists. And you can go to robhasawebsite.com/vote Wanda to cast your vote for this season's season 37 final Wandoff winner and recipient of the Wandoff jacket.
Oh my God.
Wigglers Wombats jacket.
I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled by this. This is all so wonderful. And that was hysterical. And my throat is raw from the laughter. I need to refill my water. It's diminished.
A great job by all. Congratulations on all your success so far.
Special thanks
to Randy Neupel, who worked tirelessly all season long to get all of these tracks up on our SoundCloud, where you could listen to all the submissions and the honorable mentions from this week. Thank you so much to Randy. And of
top
course,
five human being on the planet, Randy Neupel.
Thank you so much to Jason Curtis Rivera, who has a lot of music videos to make. and you may have killed him.
Sixth best human being on the planet, Jason Curtis Rivera.
So much going on. Of course, the patrons of Rob is a Podcast get access to the SoundCloud file after every episode of The Wiggle Room.
Wow. And there's a lot. There's a lot to listen to.
And for me, here in season 37, Kasem out.
All right, Casey Kasem. Wow, what a treat.
Wow.
Woo!
Wow, oh my gosh. A lot to get through. 3 hours of Survivor, 3 hours of Final Wand Off. It's a busy week in Survivor.
Oh my God. Well, I am exhausted from laughing so much. That was delightful. Thank you guys so much. You have no idea just how badly I need to be laughing right now, and you have delivered, and I am so appreciative of everybody who's contributed to the Wand Off. This has been a huge delight of my podcasting career over the past three seasons, but certainly this one in specific meant a lot. I'm very happy and very grateful for all of you. This is hilarious. I truly, truly needed this.
All right. Well, Josh, great job with everything here and your rewatch heading into the finale. And so very much looking forward to how it all is going to play out this Wednesday night.
Oh, my God. Yes. Me as well. I can't wait to see how everything shakes out. No matter how it shakes out, this has been one of the most satisfying seasons of Survivor to watch on the week to week. To know that it also holds up really well on a binge watch. I'm just thrilled that Survivor is still capable of producing seasons like this, and makes me very hyped to see what they can do next.
Okay.
You know, Let's see what Survivor's got up its sleeve moving forward. You know, I feel like with a season like this under its belt, I'm open to giving the benefit of the doubt to anything.
Okay. All right.
Open mind.
Let's open mind.
Okay.
Because, you know, who knows? But let's save that for another time. Okay. All right. Robinswebsite.com/VoteWanda is the place to go to cast your votes for the final Wanda. We got a lot of coverage coming up. I will be live after the finale with Dom Abate and Chrissy Hofbeck. Very much looking forward to that. Exit interviews coming up with the final six on Thursday. I will just say with an asterisk, sometimes, you know, that it can be difficult to track down all of these survivors sometimes the day after, you know, these it can be a little crazy.
I've never had to deal with this, and I'm going to have to for this season since I'm not at the finale. Am I in for
it's like a
no-show type of day? Okay. Good to know. Good to prepare. I'm a newbie when it comes to the Thursday phoners after the finale.
Yeah.
Oh man. All right. Good to know.
Not ideal. Okay. But you make the best. Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
And then, of course, we'll have discussion after the finale, and then maybe even some more surprises along the way. So stay tuned.
We've
made it this far together. We've got a jam-packed Wednesday night coming up. Josh, anything else?
No. You guys are wonderful, and I've needed the joy that you've brought to me. So I'm grateful to you all, and I'm grateful to you, Rob, for creating this universe in which we exist. This is and to the Survivor God as well.
Thank you so much. You're all wonderful people. All right, Josh, sending you all the best, and take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
This week, when at Tribal, Christian did something vital. Gave quite a shock when he grabbed his sock and whipped out his idol. Hubicki grabbed his sock on time and sock on time to keep it fine. Hubicki grabbed his sock on time, his sock on time to keep it fine. Hubicki.
He did it again. He dodged the blind side, outwitted your game. Poor Gabby, oops. You thought he'd be gone, but he survived on. Cause he's Hubicki.